You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027.
At the trough in 2016, it's worth remembering that Kumba's share price was in the mid-20 Rand range, as today it declared an interim dividend of 19 Rand 60 per share. Interim dividend. How Anglo must be thanking their lucky stars they didn't sell off, as they had been mulling over doing, the iron ore jewel in the crown back then. And also back then was when Themba Mkhwanazi was appointed CEO. He's now been in the hot seat for almost 4 years, and he joins us now again. Good evening, Themba. Let's start with how you've managed to respond and adapt to this extraordinary time that we're living in through COVID-19.
Evening, Michael. It is extraordinary times indeed. And what's been really critical is how we respond. We have an approach which we define as being holistic, integrated, and community-based. It's part of our We Care program, which really focuses on how do we save lives at the same time? How do we safeguard livelihoods? So a big focus to our approach has really been around putting in place the screening and testing facilities to ensure that we keep people safe. And we are aware as to what the extent of the illness may be. We've also put a lot of effort in terms of education. We've covered about 300,000 people within our host communities. The capacity for testing is such that in the three areas of Tatu, Postmansberg, and also Saldanha, we can test up to about 500 tests a day through the laboratories that we have put in place. So prevention is one aspect, but also it's very much around keeping people healthy, but also if people are sick, having in place the facilities such as the appropriate healthcare facilities in the hospitals and the clinics. And again, we've made available about 400 ICU beds for ICU quarantine and isolation. We've also provided PPEs to our clinics and hospitals and equipment such as ventilators and oxygen. Over and above that, clearly sanitization is quite important. So again, the provision of water is part of the essential services that we provide. So that's been very much what we've done around the prevention and the response. Mm. We have that then has allowed us to be able to ramp up our operations safely. We've also had to ensure that we are able to place our products in markets that are still continuing, such as China. And then there's been an element as well around the focus on cash preservation and deferring some of the non-critical capital. But all of this would not have been possible without the collaboration with government, with our unions, with our key suppliers, such as Transnet, and also with our communities.
And I think, Themba, what it demonstrates is the impact that mining as an industry has in South Africa. I think there are few other industries that can claim to have had such a far-reaching impact through this crisis in the communities in which they operate. From an operational perspective, clearly it's been very difficult for all industries with bottlenecks in supply chains, in value chains created. Where have you seen potential bottlenecks? I believe that the ports are still operating at well below capacity. What are you seeing there from an export perspective?
Yeah, so the port is currently operating at about 80%. But again, I must commend Transnet for the sterling response that they have played in making sure that we keep the system running. As we started to ramp up, they also started to ramp up. Unfortunately, from a COVID perspective, the impact for them has been greater at the ports because they have a higher level of employees that are falling into the vulnerable category, which effectively means they are at home. So about 20% of their work of their workforce. So that's really been the constraint. But having said that, though, I'm very happy to say that in the conversations and discussions with them, we are ramping up, and they expect to be back to pre-COVID levels round about September. So that's really been the bottleneck. From an other supply chain areas, we haven't really seen any impacts, and those impacts have been rather modest.
Looking at your 2020 cost guidance now, it increased at session to between 385 and 395 rand a ton. It was previously around 355 to 370 a ton. Kolomela is unchanged. And to offset this, you're now targeting 400 million rand worth of savings in the second half for a total of just over 1.1 billion in savings for the full year. Firstly, what's behind the cost increases? Is it just a volume issue? And then secondly, where do you expect to find those additional 400 million rand in cost savings?
So when you look at the cost, because of the impacts of the lockdown, we've mined lower mining volumes, certainly in the second quarter of this year. So there's an element of those costs coming back in again as we ramp up our mining volumes. So that's one element of that. We have been quite clear, though, that we need to focus on costs, not just because of COVID, but because of our broader strategic ambitions. So when you look at the cost savings for this year, we've saved about 700 million rands, half of which has been related to COVID because of less activity. But the other half has actually been real cost savings, looking at overheads, looking at contracts, and again, some of the work that we've been doing around improving our efficiencies has also contributed to those cost savings. What we're very particularly pleased about is that we had set ourselves a target of 2.6 billion cost savings from 2018 to be achieved in 2022. And we're already forecasting with the additional 400 million that we're targeting this year to actually have arrived at the 2.6 billion by the end of this year. So getting there a lot earlier than we had forecasted or planned.
Yeah, lots of efficiencies that are coming through in the way the business is being managed and run, which is a real feather in the cap of the executive management team and everyone down into the mines. CapEx guidance here at 5.6 to 6.1 billion includes a deferral of around a billion into next year. You've given yourself a little bit of breathing room there, but you've still approved a 7 billion rand mining project despite this buffeting from COVID-19. Tell me a little bit more about this mega project.
So that really shows the confidence that we have in the business, and I'm delighted that the board has approved the project. This is an exciting project for us because in many ways it sustains the operational output of our Kolomela operations at the 13 million tons for the rest of the life of mine. What that also then means then is that we safeguard around about 6,000 direct and indirect jobs. And again, being in that region, Kolomela makes up about 35% of the economic activity of the Tsantsabane Postmansberg area. So it's quite a big deal. We're also excited because it's very much part of our future smart mining in terms of using digital technologies, having also the automated drills and building off the current existing technology that we have there. The other thing that's exciting about the project as well is that from a decarbonization perspective, the trucks that are going to be deployed at the pit, we will have the opportunity to convert those from diesel to hydrogen because they will have that capability. And again, we believe that this is quite exciting.
Yeah, we're chatting to Natasha for Univanplatz about that yesterday. Very exciting indeed, particularly in light of the fact that we are, as a country, really not on track to meet some of those minimum nationally determined contributions to reducing our emissions. So important that every company, every individual does its bit here. Now, writing in the Business Day a couple of weeks ago, Timber, you said that after all the charity that we've seen around COVID, we must now seek real solidarity. And the crisis has made us recognize the vulnerability of the situation that we all share. And we have arguably more than enough plans on the table now from Treasury. We've got the ANC's plan. We've got Business for South Africa's plan. They all converge on infrastructure, it seems. What is the key to the social solidarity that you write about that will help get South Africa growing again?
For me, it's really recognizing that one of the gifts that COVID has done is it's allowed us to break down whatever barriers that may have existed for collaboration, because we have one common enemy, if I, for want of a better word, to really fight against. And I mean, the sheer nature of collaboration that I've seen with our various stakeholders has been quite humbling. What it also says as well, though, is that we have to recognize that we are part of an ecosystem. And again, COVID has taught us that it's everywhere. So we have to look after each other. And it goes beyond just the CSI. It's really about recognizing our social partners as equal and being very committed to addressing the social ills that we have as a country, such as unemployment, inequality, to name a few. And I believe that COVID has given us that platform, because it's actually shown that we can work together. And more importantly, I mean, we are very good at making plans as business, you know, as government, but the execution is the opportunity that we have to do things differently and to execute meaningfully in making a meaningful difference for our country, which I believe we have a bright future given the talents, the skills, the resources, the know-how of all of our patriots.
Timber, I would agree with you all except for one thing that perhaps you haven't touched on. And I speak to many business leaders, SME business leaders, large corporate business leaders, entrepreneurs, ordinary South Africans, all wanting to help out, all wanting to lend a hand, and many just wanting to do right by their families. But you know what they all share in common is a despair at the levels of corruption, which has led to a cynicism that I think blocks thoughts of social solidarity. And ironically, even in the case of Kumba, it was ANC cadres that fraudulently tried to steal the Sishen residual mining rights through the now well-documented Imperial Crown trading debacle. You cannot obtain solidarity with corruption surely ruining that, poisoning that well of goodwill.
There are always going to be ongoing challenges, Michael. I mean, it is part and parcel of human nature. What I would say, though, is that there is a genuine commitment from government, and we engage with government at the various levels in terms of how do we, as a country, ensure that we put in place the appropriate plans. We are also very encouraged as well as to the measures that have been taken around the establishment of the special investigation units, and clearly the measures that are very much around strengthening our institutions, and that's very, very important. What I would say, though, is that whilst those challenges exist, and some of these are ongoing legacy issues, what we've got to do is to focus around looking forward, focus around what we can do differently going forward, and not be hesitant because we have certain concerns that might actually get in the way, because we've got to resolve those concerns as we move forward, because we just don't have the time. And what is really required right now is an accelerated economic recovery that needs the best skills, the best brains, and the best efforts from each and every one of us. And we've shown as a country that when we do that, we can really achieve greatness. You've only got to look at the 2010 World Cup as a prime example, to name a few examples.
Themba Mkhwanazi, Chief Executive of Kumba Iron Ore, Africa's largest iron ore miner, reporting back on remarkably resilient results given the extraordinary times it's had to endure over the last two quarters.